kill him!
The door slammed against Anya's shoulder. Someone had kicked it from the other side. Wanting to get the attackers as far from Eric as possible, she climbed onto the hood, ran over the car's roof, and jumped off. One thug was behind her, and one stepped out from the driver's side of the van. Only two, but one was armed. Another bullet ricocheted off the van's hood.
That's my bloody van, idiot!
Anya heard the shooter come up behind her. Anya ducked and swung out her sword. The blade connected with nylon jacket and flesh and blood.
What the hell? She's got a bloody sword!
Following the swing, Anya put the driver in sight. He bent and lunged, going for her legs. She leaped higher. One foot landed on the hood of the van. She pushed off and flipped backward in the air. Landing behind the shooter, she sliced the sword across the thick part of his thighs. He rolled to his side, clutching his legs. She kicked his gun under the Mini Cooper. The driver wisely put up his hands and pressed his back to the brick wall.
Who the bloody hell are you? You're Starkers, you are!
You don't even know who you're following? I get to ask the questions.
With a flick of her wrist, Anya pressed the blade under his chin.
Who sent you?
I don't rightly know. I didn't get a name.
Liar.
I'm a feckin' freelancer. What's the blade, will you, love? I think you killed me, partner.
He's not dead. He passed out from the pain. Pain, I promise you, if you don't start talking. Now, you'll have me believe you don't know the name of the guy signing your paycheck?
It's all cash now, isn't it?
What was the order?
To follow the American woman and make sure she gets out of town. Oh, get out of town, love.
You first.
Anya knocked him out by slamming the sword hilt against his jaw. She bent to pat down the driver's pockets. She found a wallet full of pound notes, but no ID. Turning, she patted down the other guy. She dug in his shirt pocket and pulled out a business card. The cardstock was thick and edged in gold. She read the single word. Below that was a phone number.
Wine. Wine? Wouldn't a liquor store have a grander name?
Anya!
Thrusting her right hand out, Anya released the sword to the other wearer. She hoped he hadn't seen her pin the thug to the wall with the sword.
We should hurry. Grab your equipment from the hatchback and follow me out of the alleyway. They'll come too soon.
The redhead staggered out from the Mini, rubbing his jaw.
You punched me! What happened?
The sight of the fallen men gave Eric a double take. Anya shook her head negatively, and he didn't pursue it. She could tell he wanted to, but he earned points for discretion. If he didn't get an A for this project, she'd talk to his teacher personally.
Did you find her?
No, she's not in Brooklyn. Listen, Rue, I have to take off. There's a business matter I need to look into overseas, and New York isn't too pleased to have me as a guest as it is.
Why the hell not?
I misplaced my passport. I'm here on a waiver. I'd feel more comfortable getting out of Dodge. I'll bring the painting to Berlin. We can rendezvous there, yes?
Yes, but it won't do much good without Anya there.
Have you spent any time looking for her, or did the sun fry your thought process?
I've tried her cell, but she isn't answering. Have you given her a call?
No, but I'll do that. But she answers my call first time out.
You and your inflated ego can go right ahead and try.
Garin handed the baggage claim ticket to the flight attendant and directed her toward his private jet. She'd been quite open to the idea of jetting over to Europe with him for a day or two. A little champagne, very little talk, and the flight would be a dream. Two men Anya didn't know shifted about the makeshift ring. The venue was much cleaner than she'd expected. No backroom, basement, or warehouse clandestine dive. It looked like an old-school gym that had been converted for boxing. The men used the boxing ring, though they didn't wear gloves, and while no rules seemed apparent, they did respect the referee's calls. The one man she had the most questions for was fighting that night, so she sat watching and waiting. After defeating the men in the alleyway, she'd considered going to the Gardee. They'd been strangely absent from the scene of the disappearances, though. Her intuition told her she wouldn't get much investigation of her thwarted attackers. Returning to the car, Anya and Eric headed for the fight night. The smoke curling from a cigar enticed her to study the man sitting at the end of the bench 5 feet to her right. He wore a yellow and blue plaid suit coat and ankle-high leather boots. A black fedora concealed the side of his face, but she immediately figured him out.
Daniel!
He looked to her, smiled, and got up to join her. He offered a toke from his cigar, which she refused with a polite shake of her head. His gesture revealed a black thumb.
What happened?
Bad pain. Oh, it's such a bloody mess. Which one you bet on?
Neither. You?
Aye. The money's on Wesley Pierce. Slater's too cocky. He'll blow all his energy at the beginning, and he won't be able to maintain.
You come to these fights often?
Every Saturday night. I'm a betting man. I would love to see you for dinner again soon.
Thanks. I may take her up on that. The food at the bed and breakfast is good, but your mother's is out of this world.
Sunday morning is always rashers and toast at me mum's.
Sounds far too simple compared to the buffet she served up the other night.
Well, why don't we make a date of it? Besides, I can't let you leave the country without showing you me wine cellar.
Wine? Do you sell it?
Mostly just a collector. I do barter on occasion. Watch. Slater and Pierce are up.
With fascination, Anya focused as the fight began. Wesley and Slater bandied fists, a few kicks, and the occasional elbow. Both men wore jeans, bare feet, and fists. Slater seemed the calmer of the two, taking a punch to the jaw or chest and coming right back at Wesley with the follow-through. Wesley was more aggressive, guarding his face with his right, his left hand tucked near his chest and close to his chin. Neither man fought dirty. No spleen shots or knees to the groin. To enhance the experience, the room was filled with shouting Irish and Englishmen. A few that she recognized from the dig stood around the ring. Most, Anya didn't know. Eric hung out by the door. The bouncer had absolutely refused to allow any camera equipment inside, and Eric was worried about leaving his stuff out in the mini with the shattered back window, so he kept a keen eye out.
Nice kidney job!
You ever step in the ring?
Don't need to. Well, as you saw, I can pick up a little rage release now and then by joining in the fray. It's in the Irish blood, don't you know?
Focusing on the fight, Anya narrowed in on Slater. His body was sleek and lean, and muscles wrapped his frame like efficient body armor. He had guns that she wouldn't want to stand the brunt of. On the obverse, Wesley's moves were all over. He shuffled left and right, but didn't lift his feet. He was loose, but not stupid, yet obviously untrained. Anya figured Wesley had had less experience in a fight than Slater. His punches were wide and slower, connecting all over Slater's body. Slater took those wild punches by stepping into them. He minimized the distance between connection and thus reduced the impact. Of the two, Wesley was already huffing. Wesley's fist smashed his solar plexus. Slater turned into the punch and was barely moved from his feet. He returned a punch up under Wesley's jaw that sent a spurt of blood soaring overhead. Slater went for an elbow jab, which removed his guard and allowed Wesley to lunge with a fist. The fight had finished. Wesley had delivered the knockout punch.
Ah, you see?
Anya nodded in acknowledgement when Wesley's gaze found hers. He beamed and raised both his raw, bloodied fists, bouncing triumphantly to the crowd's hoots and cheers. The locker room was quiet and dark, save a bare bulb near the back. Everyone was out watching the next fight. Wesley was collecting his winnings, with Daniel standing nearby. It fit Daniel, in Anya's mind, that he was a moneymaker as well as money handler. He could have a career as an agent if he wanted, a fight manager or some such. He may appear gentle, but she sensed the Irish blood running through his veins boiled. She wanted to know if the business card was his, and how he was connected with a thug who wanted Anya out of town. Or was there a connection? It could merely be coincidence. She should have asked him about it. She slipped around a concrete wall. The walls and floors were bare. Two rows of dented white metal lockers ran down the middle. A dark shower room sat out of view to the left of the lockers. Slater was wiping his chest dry. Standing in jeans, he turned to eye her. Slater smirked and tossed the towel onto a heap of used towels near the outer shower wall. He tossed a sweatshirt over his shoulder and turned to face her, hands to hips. His left eye was swollen, but not badly. The skin hadn't been broken. By morning, it would be fine. His throat was red, as well as his upper chest and gut. All in all, he hadn't taken enough damage for a loser.
Thought everyone had their eye on the winner after the fight. You're cheering for the wrong side, sweetheart.
I've always had a soft spot for the loser. Not that you are. You could have taken Wesley. You were holding back. Why?
Look at you. Thinking you know so much. Why are you here tonight, Creed? Isn't snooping around dig sites enough for you? You need to get up close to danger. Feel the spatter of blood on your face.
I guess being threatened with a gun to my head wasn't enough. Your charm is absolutely deadly. I can't stay away from you, Slater.
Yeah? Well, you should. You let Pierce work as Blarney and spend his winnings on you tonight. I hear there's a pub crawl going on afterward. And with Collins along, digging the cash out of his deep pockets, you can be guaranteed you won't have to buy a single drink.
You really want to get rid of me, Slater. Too bad your thugs weren't effective. They don't do the follow very well.
The follow? I don't know what you're talking about.
You had me and my cameraman followed from the hospital. I don't know who else would have done so.
Who were they? You get a good look at them. What kind of vehicle were they driving?
Two big guys in an unmarked white van wielding guns and determined expressions. Sorry, I had to take them out. Thugs are stupid. It just takes brains to defeat them.
As you've proven with my security at the dig. Who did you say you are again? Or rather, what?
We've been through this. Archaeologist, television host. In the country, chasing freaking fairies.
Right. Good. If not oddball cover. But for what, I'm not sure. It certainly isn't because you want to film the countryside and win a few ratings points.
Trust me, if I could have avoided this assignment, I'd be off to Africa searching for lost civilizations.
The legitimate stuff, eh? Fairies too fanciful for you. I didn't send anyone after you, Anya. If I want something done, I take care of it myself.
Tugging on the sweatshirt, he reached into a locker and drew out a holster with a gun in it and fixed it across his body.
Maybe it was your employer?
Maybe. I'm not the man's keeper. Guy can do whatever he wants, when he wants.
Why would he fear me?
Listen, little girl. You're too smart for your own good. I meant what I said this afternoon. This has nothing to do with you. It's not personal, it's business. Just stay out of this.
If I knew what this is to stay out of, maybe I would.
If I see you near our dig again, with the camera, I won't play nice next time.
You gonna shoot me? Or is kidnapping more your style?
Slater didn't answer. When he walked past her, his shoulder slammed hers hard. Anya rubbed her shoulder and cast a glance over to watch him exit. If Slater hadn't sent those men after her, they had to have been sent by Neville. That meant Slater was not the highest man on the totem pole, only the one greasing the pole to keep curious parties from climbing too high. And until she learned the truth about the disappearances of the other two archaeologists, Anya was determined to make that climb. O'Shaughnessy's pub catered to the men from the fight. They'd come to this bar because Wesley had said it offered the best crack around. Even though the word was pronounced like an illicit drug, Anya knew the Gaelic word meant rousing conversation, fun people, and lots of it. Wesley's split lip had reopened, and he sported the beginnings of what would be a remarkable shiner on his right eye come morning. Anya still couldn't figure out how he had won the fight. No, she knew how he had. Slater had thrown the fight, and she couldn't figure out why. But she wouldn't mention her suspicion to Wesley. Wesley clanked his mug against a few of his buddies' mugs and settled across the table opposite Anya on a high stool. A waitress dropped off Anya's second pint. The creamy head spilled down the side of the frosted mug.
So how did the two camps ever manage to come together for these Saturday night excursions? Did you invite Slater, or was it the other way around?
You trying to figure who wanted to punch the other the most? One of the kids on the dig, my side, that is. His brother runs the fight. He was excited telling his friends to come and check it out, but he hadn't figured that the newest people on the dig were not the friendliest. I think Slater showed up that first weekend out of curiosity, but it's all good. When we're standing toe-to-toe in the ring, We don't necessarily want to kill each other.
You just want to show you can take the other guy. Who's the boss?
You got it. And I like the workout.
So do you know this guy Slater works for? Frank Neville?
Nope. And I've been on a lot of digs all over the world. I recognize most names in the industry, as I did yours. I have a weird sort of sixth sense that Neville doesn't have ties to our trade. Taking over the dig may have been a fluke. Whatever it is they think they're going to find isn't going to be riches. I got the results from the soil sample back right before I went to the fight.
Were your guesses to the 19th century accurate?
Yep. And it's a strain of Phytophthora infestans, the potato pathogen I suspected. We've dug into some old farmland that once grew the crops that were annihilated in the mid-1800s.
A lot of people died during the famine.
For no good reason. Foreign countries sent hundreds of thousands of dollars in aid to Ireland, but it never made it. Some was even stopped by England. Millions of people died during that time. It's a shame.
The other camp has uncovered a complete female skeleton. It was nicely preserved in the peat bog.
That's interesting, especially since I don't mark that site as a homestead. It's a bog. Janice uncovered a femur this morning. I think it belongs to the skull, but it's 20 feet away. It's like the body was just left on the ground. It's hard to figure.
So I would suspect wild animals or even an attack by thieves. The inhabitants fleeing and being shot or killed. There were a lot of wolves in Ireland in the 19th century. Or even the body could have been buried in a shallow grave, then later dug up by animals.
Both are possible. It could have been marauders, or it could have been a hard winter. Foxes were known to scavenge dead bodies.
Have you seen indications of animal attack on the bones?
Nope. But we just uncovered them. Haven't had a chance to do a thorough check. Animal intrusion should be immediately obvious. Like I said, I don't know what to say.
What about fairies?
I think you're ready for another pint.
I better call it a night. I was gonna head over to Daniel's, but it's getting late.
You don't want to wander about this time of night, Anya. The other crowd will get you. And then maybe 100 years in the future, the archaeologists will be digging up your bones.
Yeah, right.
Where's your puppy dog?
Eric is flirting with the musicians. I think he's developed a thing for flute music since we've been in the country. I'll let him chat a little longer while I go retrieve the car, which we left at the fight. This joint is really hopping this evening.
Attribute it to the crack. Come on, I'll walk you to your car then.
The night was bright, and the sky filled with stars there at the edge of the city.
You know I'm having some fun with you about the fair folk, Anya.
Do I? I expect the locals to cling to tales and myths, but you don't even live here.
I like to assimilate the cultural beliefs wherever I go. Buddhism in Tibet, voodoo in Savannah, fairies in Ireland. Just have fun with it, Anya. It's not all a load of horseshite.
I don't think what or whoever took the two missing men from your sight would want anyone to have fun with it. Aren't you concerned?
They probably found some magic mushrooms like Beth did and took a boat up the river to Kinsale. I've lost a crew member a time or two. They usually come back after they're tired of experiencing the local fair, or I get a phone call a few weeks later saying archaeology wasn't for them and sorry they took off without saying goodbye.
You don't believe either of the men did that. And how do you know Beth found mushrooms? Did she tell you?
No. It's a guess, Anya. She was talking about seeing fairies. I may have some fun with you, but even I am educated enough to know a man's not going to see a winged woman come flying out of the forest anytime soon.
That relieves me a little. But I'm afraid for Beth. If someone gave her a drug, why? Why not simply keep her tied up? Or even kill her?
Is that what you think should have happened?
No, but whatever she was on made her see fairies. That's odd. I'm surprised the Gardaí aren't all over this.
Slater notified the police.
Slater doesn't have anyone's best interests in mind. Maybe you should give the Gardaí a call tomorrow and check?
You want me to? I will. I was hoping when Beth came around she'd have the answers. Maybe she's seen the missing men.
He's up to something, Slater.
I'm sure he is.
But it's not your thing to get involved, am I right?
Something like that. Is this it?
Anya pulled a U-turn to navigate back to the pub.
Whoever Frank Neville is will quickly learn there's nothing but bones and dirt on site. He'll pack up camp and leave soon enough.
But how many more will disappear before then? Do you think they saw something they weren't supposed to see?
I thought you were snooping about Slater's camp. What did you see?
The skeleton I told you about? Nothing worthy of shutting me up. I'm missing some very large piece of the puzzle, and it frustrates me. I haven't gone down to check out the river yet. I think I should take a look.
I'll go along with you if you like.
Tomorrow, then. It's a date.
Best looking date I've had in a while. How'd I get so lucky?
I think it's the Blarney. You're full of it.
I do try.
The sky was just starting to get cloudy when Daniel Collins met Anya on her trek to the dig site. He pulled over the jeep and jumped out. Eric had risen early and left a note that he was heading out to film some scenery.
Care for the boys?
Sure. Looks like rain.
It'll be pouring by the time we make my place. You getting a late start today?
I think all the residual bar smoke really played a number on me last night. Either that or jet lag finally got the better of me.
Come along. I'll fix you up in no time.
3 minutes later, the rain beat the land relentlessly. Anya hoped Wesley had an extra tarp to cover the excavation. Otherwise, it would take at least a day to dry out and be workable enough for digging again. Daniel offered Anya cold salmon sandwiches, which his mother had prepared and sent home with him. Homemade pickles and deviled eggs topped off the light lunch. Just as they were getting comfortable, Daniel stood and tugged the napkin from his shirt.
Ah, what are my manners? I should have brought up some wine for the meal. Here, follow me.
Speaking of wine, is this yours?
Anya pulled out the business card and showed it to Daniel.
I took it from a guy who wanted me to leave town without passing go, without collecting $200. You know anything about that?
That's mine. But I don't know anything about collecting $200. I barter with the discerning, and often I pick up a customer by word of mouth. What was his name?
Didn't have a chance to ask. He was too busy shooting at me.
Shooting? Anya, what's the trouble? Someone fired a weapon at you. I don't see how that can be related to filming a bit of the land and talking about the fair folk.
Neither do I. But something is not kosher with Slater's camp. Though he didn't claim knowing the men after me either. But the man whose pocket I found this in? I find it hard to believe he'd be a wine connoisseur.
We Enofoils come in all shapes and sizes. Mustn't judge by appearance. I'll look into it if you like. But I suspect it's Slater's machismo bleeding through. As deadly as that is, I don't think the man would actually kill anyone.
Oh, do you know Michael Slater well?
No. I've only spoken to him a time or two at the dig. But you've witnessed his aggression just as much as I have.
You know Frank Neville, right?
Sold him some wine a time or two. He likes a good cigar as well, but he's not from the area, so I couldn't say he's a friend. What about Frank is important to you?
It's just a name that keeps coming up during my investigation. I like to have all the facts before making conclusions.
Conclusions on what? How does Neville figure into a show that chases after fairies?
The show seeks the truth, whether or not a monster is involved. Do you actually believe fairies kidnapped the missing people?
Can't be very interesting for your viewers if the promised monster turns out to be a human.
You'd be surprised.
Let me show you something, hmm?
Anya followed Daniel down a narrow hallway, and then they descended what felt like two stories below Daniel's modest home. While upstairs, it was no-nonsense, handmade wood furniture and homey touches. Down here in the cellar, Anya felt as if she'd entered the elite clubhouse of a true connoisseur. Redwood wine racks grew from floor to ceiling on the two outer walls. The concrete floors were streaked with amber, which gave an old-world fade to the cellar. Gothic tin lights were suspended overhead and spaced to track the aisles. Rolling library ladders, tilted against the wine racks, reached to the uppermost racks. Two aisles paralleled the center counter, which was a waist-high rack that also sported goblets, corkscrews, wine journals, and a computer that currently flashed what appeared to be a filing system.
So, what do you think?
This is gorgeous. High-tech. Eric did mention you're a fanatic about wine.
Guilty as charged. Mr. Kritz must have told him about my collection.
Anya peered at the computer monitor.
So you have all the bottles entered in this program?
Yes. Any bottles I've consumed, I record notes on them as well. The bottles each have a barcode that I use to check on the provenance and chateau. A climate control system monitors the temperature and keeps it at a constant 57 degrees, 70% humidity ratio. The security is fierce as well.
Security? You get a lot of burglars out here on your little patch of green.
You'd be surprised at the riffraff that comes sorting about for the artifacts and bits and bobs. If they've been drinking, they can be very bold. They will knock right on the door and start a ruckus. That's why I keep a 20-gauge shotgun beside the door.
Not unwise.
Anya eyed a huge wine bottle behind the computer screen. It was about 3 feet tall. Daniel noted her wonder.
That's called a Balthazar. Holds 12 liters, equal to 16 bottles of wine. I keep it for a conversation piece.
I bet. This is all very impressive, Daniel.
You haven't seen anything yet.
Daniel turned and perused a rack of bottles, drawing his long fingers down the row. He stopped at one and pulled out the bottle. He uncorked the bottle he held and set it on the center counter.
Do you enjoy wine, Anya?
On occasion. How long does it take to acquire a collection like this?
I've got about 20,000 bottles. Been collecting for 15 years. And yes, that makes me a lot older than you.
I wasn't aware the age difference was a concern. Is it when drinking wine and sharing conversation?
Not at all. But we've yet to have a scintillating conversation, unless you consider a stolen midnight kiss. Take a swig of this.
Daniel smiled and handed Anya the bottle. She accepted the bottle, decided it was his character to expect her to quaff a swig directly from the bottle, so she did. Daniel walked onward, eyeing the bottles as if in search of another. The red wine was deep, pleasant, and a little fruity.
What do you think?
It's wine. Pretty good.
Daniel nodded and wandered farther into the cellar depths. Taking out a bottle from a row, he displayed it to her. Anya tucked the bottle she held to her chest and went to inspect. The label was unevenly cut around the edges, definitely not machine printed.
Old?
17th century. A rarity. Not many bottles survived from that long ago. The glass is so fragile. If you can find 18th century, you should consider yourself lucky.
Nice. French?
Pre-Phylloxera Lafitte. Very rare. Made before the yellow root louse infestation forever changed the vintage. It is the holy grail of wines.
Daniel replaced the bottle. Anya lingered on the vertical row of ancient bottles that must hold so much history coded within their murky depths.
So, how much does an old bottle like that cost?
The pre-phylloxera? Well, that one put me back 500 Gs.
500,000?
Yes, but that's my most expensive bottle.
People pay that much for wine?
Yes. And you can never know if the contents will be drinkable or reduced to vinegar.
Then why spend so much on it?
It's buying history, Anya. You must be able to appreciate that.
I do appreciate history, but not the kind that breaks the bank. I like to dig it up from the dirt. For free.
But you're not allowed to keep your finds.
Daniel pointed toward the other aisle, where he shuffled down the row and sorted through the bottles. Anya took another swig from her bottle. The label was marked 1955. Old, but not surprisingly so.
So how much did this stuff cost?
$5,000.
Oh.
Here. A nice Pinot Grigio. Me favorite. You bring that bottle and I'll decant this one. We'll go up and chat a bit.
Thanks. But I think I've had enough wine for the day. You want this one back?
No, you keep it, Anya. It's a gift. I'd offer a Monte Cristo as well, but I don't believe you smoke.
Thanks. But I do enjoy the smell. I should probably be going. I had intended to speak to Wesley and look around the forest a bit before it gets too late. Don't want to tease the midnight hour.
A witching hour can be very magical.
Is that when the fairies come out?
They could. They most definitely could.
Eric was surprised that Anya was not filming more footage for the show. Doug Morrell expected fairy stuff, and Eric was determined to get it, whether or not Anya participated.
I should have asked to work with Christy. At least she would have been more fun. We'd probably be soaking in a hot tub right now, with a bunch of leprechauns, drinking a pint.
He had to admit Anya was thorough, and she was concerned for the safety of the people involved with the dig, as opposed to merely seeking a sensational story. It was probably best his first assignment had been with the smart one as opposed to the sexy one. Not that Anya wasn't sexy. When he caught her unawares, just staring off at the horizon, her profile did things to him. Her body was great, too.